Okay, welcome to the session about native software programming, especially multi-threading programming using Intel software development products. My name is Hubert Haberstock. I'm working as a technical consultant for the Intel Software and Services Group in Germany. The agenda is pretty simple today. We do not have much time to go into much detail, but I try to give an overview about our programming models and what we have out on tools available for native software programming. We will talk a little bit about why native programming is still necessary, and especially with Windows 8, native programming gets a little bit more traction as it was in the past. And we will talk, it's the main part, about multi-threaded programming methods, especially the methods we from Intel provide to software programmers. And in the second part, I will provide an overview about our flagship. This is the PyroStudio XE. It's a studio suite. The name is indicates that it is a plug-in to Visual Studio. It plugs fully and integrates fully into Microsoft Visual Studio, providing additionally tools for profiling and multi-threading and thread checking correctness. I will have a little live demo at the end of the session, about 5 to 10 minutes, and at the end you can ask questions. Of course, I'm available after the session if you have further questions, or you can contact me later by email if you have a specific questions we cannot handle here within this session. Okay. So what's the main difference about between Visual Studio and Parallel Studio? Parallel Studio stands for native software programming only. It is an addition to Visual Studio, providing multi-threading methods, providing profiling tools, providing tools for thread correctness checking, and so it enhances the Visual Studio development environment. The managed code we do not support at all with our code development products, with the compilers and the libraries, but we have some support for .NET applications with our profiler and our thread correctness tools. Okay, managed code is very common. It creates an intermediate language, and this is being executed on the common language runtime. All these things are not available or not necessary on native programming. The C++ language directly creates code with the compiler that is being executed on the target. So these two parts, the I have one other slide. So this is how you see it is fully integrated, our threading building blocks, for example, our Silk Plus method, multi-threaded method, and also our Intel OpenMP implementation is fully integrated in the Visual Studio environment. And you can also mix and match native and managed code software development using either the native Microsoft compiler for managed code, for C++ code, or for C++ code, also alternatively the Intel compiler. You can also have a mix and match within the projects. You can have some modules being compiled with Microsoft and other modules being compiled with the Intel compiler. Okay, so this combination, Parallel Studio and Visual Studio, is the ideal combination for any kind of native multi-threaded software development. We support Visual Studio 2005, 2008, and 2010 at the moment. Yeah, whenever a new Visual Studio is being released by Microsoft, we add immediately support for that new environment so that you can start with whenever a new Visual Studio is being available. Okay, what is the motivation for going parallel in the native software development environment? Yes, it's just the hardware is going parallel. The number of cores are increasing and increasing from time to time. Now we have multi-core processes available, 2 or 4 cores plus hyperthreading. So normally you will have, let's say, 4 or 8 cores available for software development. And the number of cores and hyperthreads is increasing. And we will have soon also many core CPUs out there. You may have heard about the MIC technology Intel already has released. It's the many integrated core development, and hardware for that will also be available soon. Currently, it's just the technology that is available, but you will have soon support also on the real silicon. But all these methods are already integrated in the core, in our Parallel Studio XE, so you can start already here. If you have a development environment from Intel, you can also use the many integrated core technology for programming on the GPU, for example, on the MIC. Or you may have heard that the Larrabee technology, Larrabee, is no longer available. It has been replaced by many integrated core. But this is soon available, all these techniques. And this is already now implemented in the core of Parallel Studio XE, in the compiler, in the libraries, and the profiling, and the thread correctness tools. Okay, this is what I wanted to explain. Our tools are for future development. So that means if you develop core code now, it should run also in the next generation of CPUs or on clusters or on many cores and other multi-cores that are being released within the next years. Okay, from the programming perspective, this is what the developer usually is doing on using native technology, native threads. You have the hardware and you have threads running, cores and hyperthreads, and the programmer is handling these threads, has to set up the threads and manage the threads. But this is not the way to go because it is too error-prone, too complicated, too difficult to maintain, and you have to take care that special hardware is being supported by this method. So the way to go is to use an abstraction layer or methods that abstract from the hardware layer so that the programmer can directly focus on programming tasks instead of hardware threads. This is the way to go, and this is the reason why we have developed specific multi-threaded methods to go parallel also on the application programmer side. Okay, this is the current actual family of programming methods provided by Intel. The two methods on the right are research projects available from the Intel website if you are interested, for example, the concurrent collections, offload extensions for the C++ compiler. That means if you have a hardware for that, you can directly use now already offload features to offload code onto a GPU and execute it and read back the result from a GPU. Array building blocks, for example, is a research project, but we have put it back. It was originally planned to release it as a product in Parallel Studio XE, but it has been set back because of Microsoft C++ AMP. There are some overlaps between the array building blocks and the upcoming C++ AMP, so that we have put back this technology, but it's still available as a research project. And a single process, multiple data, parallel compile is available. These are research projects. You can try them out, you can download, and you can give us feedback if it is useful or not, or you can provide us any improvement suggestions and so on. The other part are established standards we support, for example, on cluster tools. We support the MPI message passing interface. We support, of course, OpenMP with the latest version 3.1. We support the latest features in Fortran, the CoArray Fortran, and we support OpenCL. But currently, OpenCL only on CPU, not on GPU. That means we can download an OpenCL SDK from the Intel's webpage and program it with the CPU. GPU is not yet supported in that SDK. So the next one is are domain-specific libraries. That means these are collection of libraries for scientific, for multimedia applications you can directly use. These are a collection of multi-threaded functions you can integrate in your code. If your code is already multi-threaded or if you use any kind of multi-threading, you can use this function in a single-threaded version. Otherwise, you will have overlaps or oversubscription in the multi-threading. Or you can use that in a single-threaded application, and the functions will be executed then in parallel. These are multi-threaded libraries ready to use a huge amount of functions across the all kinds of scientific, mathematical, and multimedia applications. These two libraries are integrated in Parallel Studio by default. So if you buy or use a Parallel Studio or the Composer XE, these are libraries are included in the package. Okay, just a few words about the first package, the integrated performance primitives. As said, a collection of multi-threaded libraries for a huge amount of applications in multimedia, such as image, video, communications, data processing. Multi-threaded, it supports all silicon that is out from Intel, including the current Core i7 microarchitecture. It supports also embedded processors such as Atom. And these are the three main key domains: multimedia, signal processing, and data processing, where you can find very useful multi-threaded functions from within this library. These are for C++ only. There is also a way to use our libraries within a managed code development. There is a way. There are several ways on the Microsoft and on the MSDN are a couple of knowledge base articles that describe a kind of wrappers where you can integrate or call C++ native functions from within the managed code. So this is one of the useful ways to use also these multi-threaded native libraries within the managed code development. Okay, and it's very flexible. You can use specific IPP functions for specific target processors. For example, also in the embedded world where the footprint matters, you can use static libraries for Atom processors, for example, only. Or you can, on the mainstream development, you can use general purpose API calls from IPP, which can run on a wide range of CPUs, such as Atom, i7, and so on. The other library is the math kernel library. This is available for C and for Fortran. This library is more for scientific development. IPP is more for multimedia, but there are, of course, overlaps with IPP and MQL. But it doesn't matter. Both libraries are available and included in the Intel compilers. And the math kernel library especially is for any kind of engineering, manufacturing, scientific, and also finance applications. Huge amount of multi-threaded functions that can directly be directly being included in the native code by just calling the API functions from the libraries. Sorry. Curry, the next one, this is now a real method that can be used on the source code level. The Intel threading building blocks is a C++ template library that can be used with any C++ compiler, is completely platform and compiler independent, not language independent. It's a C++ library, but can be used also for Microsoft, for any kind of compiler, and can be used on any platform. The code you develop for with TBB is portable and can be executed on any other platform. It's a template library, C++ template library, which is a kind of abstraction from the hardware. The programmer using threading building blocks functions only deals with tasks and no longer with hardware threads. Remember the picture I showed you at the beginning. The way to go is to handle with threads instead of hardware tasks. Okay, the threading building block. Sorry, doesn't work. Sorry. Sorry, there's something, there's a slide that shouldn't appear here. Sorry. Okay, threading building blocks. As said, a C++ template library provides parallel tasks, provides parallel concurrent containers, synchronization primitives, that means semaphores and so on, mutexes and so on, and provides a scalable memory allocator that can directly replace, for example, the SDL memory allocator. And it's, by the way, it's fully SDL compatible. If you are used to programming with SDL template libraries, you can just replace your STL stuff with TPP. The syntax is compatible. You replace TPP, STD colon colon allocator by TPP colon colon allocator, for example, or STL sort by a TPP sort, and so on. STL can be directly replaced by TPP containers. Okay, so as said, it's a kind of STL for parallel C++ programming, and the main difference against STL is that TPP is thread safe. You can really program multi-threaded, whereas on STL, you as programmer have to take care that the data races are being avoided and that you deal correctly with your memory and so on. And you define tasks instead of managing hardware threads, so you can concentrate on your work that has to be parallel on your execution or the application. You do not need to deal with the low-level stuff that handles all the threads on the hardware. And it's compatible with other threading methods. For example, you can use OpenMP together with TPP or SilkPlus together with TPP. Or, of course, you can use native threads and TPP. That's all possible. And it depends on what you want to do. Sometimes just WinAPI primitives are easier to use instead of TPP and so on, and vice versa. These are a couple of examples of how the templates look like. You have, instead of a for loop, you have a parallel for. There are a couple of reducers available. Parallel reduce, a scanner is also available, parallel scan, parallel sort. This is the counterpart for this STL sort, and so on. And the new feature in TPP 4.0 is a computable graph, which allows some kind of flexibility to handle threads, to manage the threads, because you can program your application in kind of a flow chart. You define nodes and define edges, and you define the action that has to be executed between the different nodes. So this is a high-level overview about the blocks. This is the reason why it is called threading building blocks, because there are blocks of containers you can just use from the template library. Generic algorithm, as already mentioned, parallel for and so on. Task schedule, you can a little bit fine-grain the task schedule, of course. By default, TPP handles all the threading, sets up the task scheduler, but you can, of course, fine-grain it a little bit if requires, if the performance requires that you do a little bit of hand-tuning, synchronization primitives, and so on. And the memory allocator I mentioned already, concurrent containers that can replace STL containers, and they are thread safe, so you do not need to take care about synchronization and avoiding data races with using concurrent containers. Okay, this is just a little example for the very common application for parallel for replacing standard for, and whatever is under the parallel for is being executed. The TPP runtime environment splits up the execution of the for loop and divides it up in specific chunks that are being executed on the hardware threads. Okay, by the way, the Microsoft PPL is nothing else than TPP. It's a subset of TPP. And the TPL is the counterpart for PPL that can be used. It's the same as PPL, but for managed code applications. But our part for this is the TPP that fully integrates into Visual Studio. If you want to have the full set of the threading building blocks, you can use TPP, or you can, of course, use the standard PPL functions from within the Visual Studio environment. This is just an example how good the TPP scales. We have a couple of applications, small applications though, but these are or can be very compute intensive depending on the parameters that are being used. The pi calculation, it can extend depending from the accuracy you are using to calculate the pi number. Here we have three examples: pi, the tachyon, this is a ray trace application, and primes is also a number crunching, is calculating prime numbers within the given range. And here you see on the 40 core system that it almost scales linear. That means on 40 cores you have almost a speed up of 40 compared to the single threaded execution. So the TPP runtime environment and the automatic task scheduler is very powerful. And so that means that the programmer can concentrate on the application, on the tasks, and doesn't need to take care about the handling all the threads under the hood. Okay, this is what I mentioned, a new, very useful feature in TPP 4.0, a flow graph. You define your nodes, you define your edges, and you define how the tasking has to be handled, passing messages between the nodes, and so you are very flexible to program and to manage multi-threaded applications with this new feature. We do not have time to go into much detail, but it's just a high-level overview, and you can try it out by yourself. Everything I'm talking about today, you can try out. You can download as an eval version from Intel's website, Parallel Studio, that has included TPP. You can try that out. Okay, there's a little TPP sample so that you have a little impression how TPP can be used. It's a very simple application, a database application where data in the database are being sorted. Nothing else, but this is an example where you can see that with very little interaction, with very little efforts, a serial application can be converted into the parallel application using TPP threading building blocks functions from a C++ template library. We start here with a serial version. It's not exactly serial in the programming of these example. We used already the parallel 4. So that because it is the most common template library from TPP to use parallel 4. Starting with the parallel 4, we will introduce step by step other TPP multi-threaded functions. So you will see it finally, then the result and the gain you can achieve by using all these containers from TPP compared to the base version. This is the base version where we use parallel 4, but we do not use any other kind of TPP stuff yet. So you see here a parallel 4, the replacing the 4. And here you see the structure of the code, how it looks like. Pseudo code, of course, but the code is much, much bigger, of course, but this is the structure of the code. And we have here almost serial, including parallel 4, an execution time of 4.6 seconds. The next step is that we will replace the STL sort by the TPP sort, and what you need to do is just to add parallel in front of the sort, and that's all. So the parallel execution of the sort is being invoked by the TPP runtime environment as a replacement for the serial executed STL sort. And we have a gain of about 600 milliseconds. It's about, say, 5% roughly, by just replacing a sort by a parallel sort. This is all what we did on the code, adding parallel, and we have already little step further in the multi-threading our application by just using a parallel sort instead of the sort. The next is to use a TPP allocator, the memory allocator, that's much more powerful than the standard allocator. And here we see that we have now an execution time of 2.4 seconds. It's almost a speed up of 2. And what we did in the code is we replaced here the STL allocator. Here is commented out in that time, the standard allocator. We use now the TPP allocator. In the next step, we use a concurrent hash map that is a container that executes portion of codes defined by the container in parallel. They are thread safe. There's no need to use any synchronization objects. And the way we did it is we replaced the standard container, the standard map, by a concurrent unordered map from TPP. And together with that, we also defined a variable within this container, the stats variable. We defined it as atomic. And atomic is another way to protect data against concurrent accesses from multiple threads. These two additions in the code bring finally down the execution time to 900 milliseconds. And the way we achieved this good performance increase is that we were able to remove the critical section. This is a WinAPI synchronization object we had to use if we used only parallel sort or parallel for, but with the concurrent container, everything that is being executed in that container is thread safe. So finally, you can remove any synchronization objects. In this case, we used Win32 native APIs, and we can remove all that stuff, initialize, enter, delete, leave critical section, because the concurrency is thread safe by using the concurrent hash map and by using atomic scalar operators. So, and yes? TPP allocator is thread safe, that whenever it sets up ranges for memory, it takes care that there is no concurrent access from the threads that are running in the TPP scheduler and runtime environment. That's the difference. No, STL is not thread safe. STL is whatever in STL is being executed is serialized, is single threaded. You can, of course, use STL within a multi-threaded environment, but then you have to take care that the synchronization is being done and that the STL are made thread safe. And TPP, there's automatically thread safe, and this is the main difference, the main advantage. So as a summary, we started with the parallel 4, the base version that took 4.6 seconds. The parallel sort gave us an increase in the performance by 1.15. The allocator gave us a performance increase of almost 2. And finally, the concurrent thread-safe hash container with the atomic scalar gave us finally a performance improvement about factor 4.6. It's very impressive, I would say, with just adding little efforts to the serial program. There's only a change in, let's say, 20 source lines in total within the real application. And it's very impressive how easy you can convert a serial application into a multi-threaded, thread-safe application. The other example now is Silk Plus, and this is the transition from TPP to Silk Plus. I said in the beginning that all our threading methods are compatible. They can be used together. Sometimes they can cooperate together to to get more performance out of that. And here, this is an example for TPP using Silk Plus. We will talk about Silk Plus now. And for example, TPP with extended vector parallelization, the SIMD pragmas being used by Silk, can enhance TPP further by adding some more data level parallelism to the thread parallelism. I will talk about what the difference is between thread and data level parallelism. And this is an example where TPP and Silk interacts very good together and gives a good combination of both of the platform independent threading and including data level parallel execution using SIMD SSE vectors on the hardware using the Silk technology. Okay, now finally we come to another methods. It's the newest one we have implemented in Parallel Studio in our compiler. It's a Silk Plus technology. Silk Plus is not a method, it is a collection of methods, and it consists of task parallelism, three keywords, Silk Spawn, Silk 4. Silk 4 is very similar to Parallel 4. And the Silk Spawn and Sync are two keywords to indicate the runtime environment that the code followed by a Silk Spawn statement is being executed in parallel, and a Silk Sync statement indicates that the parallel region is over and that the code following Silk Sync will be executed in serial. We have a couple of reducers. Reducers can be used also on single-threaded applications. They are very useful. They can simplify mathematic algorithms, for example, a vector addition or an addition of calculating a sum of arrays. You can just use a reducer, define the arrays as parameter, and the result is the sum of all the numbers included in the arrays. For example, this is an application in serial application example using a reducer. In Silk Plus, the reducers can also be used or shall be used to make your program thread safe, because the reducers are thread safe, and whatever you are executing within a reducer object is being executed thread safe in the runtime environment. And the other portion, this is what I just mentioned, what I wanted to say in the slide before, you can combine thread multi-threading using TPP with data level parallelism, and these are the three methods. CN means it's a C++ extended error notation. That means you can rewrite your code and make it easier for the compiler to vectorize the code. The code is better maintainable. You replace a for loop by just error notation. This is a sample here in this line. That means that all elements of the array B and C are multiplied, and the result is being restored into the array A. Usually you have to define a for loop and increase the index and run through all the complete range of the array, and you have finally then the result. Here in the extended error notation, you will reduce all these for loops and define them and declare them and use that in your application with error notation by reducing for loops. Elementary functions is another way to make user functions thread safe, but here you need to take care that you have really a good function, that the entry and exit point is defined. You need to take care that this function, if it runs in serial, is really correct and doesn't create any exceptions. And if this is the case, you can define your function as a Deckelsbach vector function, and this is the indication for the runtime environment to execute Deckelsbach vector-defined function in a data-level parallelized way. What this means exactly, data-level parallelism, we have a couple of examples now later. The pragma SIMD is another way to use the extended vectorization features of the compiler. That means the compiler spends some more heuristics to parallelize the code, to execute your code within the SSE instructions. And SSE instructions have the advantage that code can be executed in parallel because the SSE registers, or now the new multimedia registers, the AVX from Sandy Bridge, are 128 bits wide. The SSE and AVX is 256 bits wide. And this is another method to bring more data level parallelism into your programs. And everything is executed or created, the code is created automatically by the compiler. This is just a pragma, so to say, an advice to the compiler to parallelize, to data level parallelize the code that is following the pragma sim directive. Okay. This characteristics of a Silk Plus program is that the execution is in serial semantics. That means if the runtime environment doesn't have any thread available because of any reason, then this program is executed as it were a serial program without any Silk Plus additions. The advantage is that such programs are very easy to debug. They can be used with profilers. There is already a Silk profiler available, but not included in the PyroStudio yet. It's available from our WinInter web page. You can try that out, but not yet included. But this is one consequence of the semantics of Silk Plus that is very easy to maintain, to debug, and to profile. So we talked already about the keywords. All what you have to do is to include the Silk header. And the difference between Silk and TBB is that Silk is a language extension. That means the Silk runtime environment doesn't run, for example, with the Microsoft compiler, because the Microsoft compiler doesn't understand the Silk keywords, and this is, and all the other Silk API extensions, the Pragma Sim, for example, this has to be included in the compiler core, and this is the reason why Silk Plus, as of yet, is a language extension and only available for the Intel compiler. There's some support, by the way, with the Silk keywords by GCC, but here we are talking about Windows native multi-threaded programming only. Yes, for other OS, yes, Silk is available for Windows, Linux, and Mac OS, but only using the Intel compiler. Okay, this is just an example. I mentioned that already, an example of the reducer. There are two benefits, the reducers, reducer APIs, simplify a couple of mathematical calculations, for example, here to sum up all the components of the array. And the other advantage is that reducers are thread safe, so a reducer can be used within a Silk spawn region that is executed in parallel. You can say Silk spawn and then your code, and you can use a reducer, and then finally you have a Silk sync, or you can use a Silk for that parallelizes the for loop. You can have a Silk for and then use a reducer within the for loop, and this makes sure that the variables, global variables, are thread safe and protected against concurrent access from the multiple threads. The error notation, one other feature of Silk Plus, the advantage is that the code becomes simpler. You can just replace complex for loops. You can write it in error notation. For example, here, looks very simple if you use error notation, but in order to execute that or to calculate that in the for loop, it's a little bit more complex. You have at least to run two cascaded for loops, because also the offset has to be calculated in the right order. And the other problem comes that you have then data, or you may have easily implemented the data independency, so that you will run into problems when this for loop shall be multi-threaded. All these problems you can avoid if you use the error notation. It makes the code more simpler, the code maintenance is better, and it is a better way for the compiler to multithread that. Okay, this is just an example how to use error notation. The syntax is that the first parameter is the lower bound and then the length, and you can optionally define a stride. Stride means that it's a gap between the parameters of an array. And for example, this means that the B2:6 means that starting with the 2, this is the lower bound, the length is 6. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That means that the index 2 to until 7 from the array B is being represented by this error notation B2:6. Very easy. No. Boundary check. No. No, this the programmer has to take care that this is okay, boundary check in terms of that the compiler issues an error, yes? If the length of the errors are unequal from a right value to left value or vice versa, the compiler issues an error, yes? This is kind of boundary check it's a compiler error. Sorry, there was another question. Okay. So here are two examples. Both lines are identical from the logical execution flow. The first one is traditional for loop calculating arrays. The second one is the error notation. You see here the for loop can disappear. You do not need a for loop any longer because the calculation of all the indices from 0 to n are computed, so to say, in parallel. And you see here what the advantage is for the compiler. The compiler can interpret or process this error notation much easier by implementing parallel algorithms to execute, to compile that code. In the first one, the compiler may think there are code dependencies, and when you compile this code with the vectorizer report enabled, the compiler will say loop was not vectorized, existence of vector dependence. There is really no vector dependence, but the compiler is cautious. The compiler may think there is a dependency. He cannot interpret all the runs of the loop because he doesn't know at the stage of the compilation of the code if this where the upper limit of the array is, or may not know, but what the upper limit of the array is in the for loop. And so he says, the compiler says, not vectorizable. In the second case, however, the compiler can vectorize it because he can better understand the error notation. This is, a parallel way to express parallelism. The compiler can better interpret this, and then the compiler says, loop was vectorized. That means that this execution of the error notation is being executed in SSE registers using SSE intrinsics under the hood. You do not need to use SSE intrinsics. You just convert your code into error notation, and the compiler automatically implements the right implementation for the target hardware to parallelize the code and execute it in using SSE or AVX intrinsics. Okay, this is the advantage of the data level parallelism, and it shall be used together with the task parallelism because there is another further addition to parallelize your code. The first way is multithreading, and the other way is executing code in parallel registers on SSE or AVX registers. Okay, the other feature of Silk Plus is elemental functions. I explained that already a little bit. The DECL-spec vector declaration of the function and definition, you have to do to use both on the declaration side and also then on the definition when you execute the function, define the function. whenever the compiler sees a DeckelSpec vector on a user function, then it assumes this function is thread safe. It can be safely executed within the multi-threaded environment, and the result is the same as you saw it before. The loop can be vectorized. I think I have an example here. Yes, there's an example here, the same here with the DeckelSpec vector and the other function, just a user function, no DeckelSpec vector. And in the case of an elemental function, the compiler says loop was vectorized. It first inlines the code of the function, and then after inlining, it executes the function body and the function with using SEC intrinsics. Whereas on the first, on the foo function, which is a user function that cannot be executed multi-threaded by default, the compiler generates code, standard code. It may use SSE functions if possible, but it's not guaranteed that it uses SSE data level parallelism functions. So in this way, in the standard way, without a DeckelSpec vector, the compiler usually doesn't or cannot vectorize these functions, but with a DeckelSpec vector, it can, or usually it does vectorize those defined functions with DeckelSpec vector. This is called elemental functions, and all this is about data level parallelism. And the third feature of data level parallelism is the extended vectorization. There are a couple of ways to use SSE program or to use SSE commands to access multimedia registers on the CPU, assembler code, for example, or intrinsics. But all this is very error prone and not portable. You have to use specific code intrinsics or as assembler code for the specific hardware. Using SMD registers, the SMD directive with the Pragma SIMD, you do not need to specify your target hardware. The code is automatically generated for the right target hardware you are defining by the switch. We will see that later on the vector specific compiler optimization switches. If you define a range of these options for a range of processes, then the right SMD code is being executed for all that processes you specify with that compiler switch. Okay, and what you need to do is just to add a pragma symd in front of a for loop, and then the for loop is being executed in vectorized mode, in data level parallelism mode. Here, we still use the traditional way with a for loop, but of course you can combine that and use C extended error notation. But especially in cases where the C extended error notation, the C++ extended error notation is not suitable, or it is too complicated to change a code to convert it into error notations, then for traditional code, for using a traditional for loop, the pragma symd directives can be used. With pragma symd, you have a couple of parameters. You can fine-tune your vectorization. For example, you can also use a reduction. Reduction is also very suitable for data level parallelism, because in the for loop, for example, you may have data dependencies. And if the compiler detects data dependencies, then the compiler cannot vectorize the code. But with a reduction, you can protect specific parameters of that pragma symd, and then it's so to say as a synchronization object on the multimedia registers level. It has nothing to do with multithreading. It's just executing on the SSE registers, but this is a way to specify and protect specific parameters. It's just an example, the reduction or the private, to make specific parameters private, so that whenever you use the right parameter for your pragma symd, then the for loop can be executed in using SSE or AVX intrinsics are under the hood. You do not need these intrinsics. The source code is always the same for all targets. The compiler creates the right machine code for your specific hardware. Okay, this is another example how to use the silkspawn keyword. Whatever follows the silkspawn is executed in parallel. Here we are again at the multi-threaded level. These keywords are for multi-threading. Here, multiple threads are being created, and because it is a function that is being called recursive, this is a good method to spawn up the recursion and to let the runtime environment execute the function in parallel. And this is the way you can use here this keyword, silkspawn, and finally, after the recursion, the calculation has finished, you have to use a silksync to tell the environment now the parallel region is finished and the execution of the code here following the sync statement is being executed in serial. Okay, another example using the silk4 keyword, replacing the standard default 4 by a silk4. And here in this case, you will have a data race because the result is a global variable. And here it may happen that threads concurrently being executed write their result of the computation into the result global variable. They override each other the value of the result, and this is a so-called data race. You can avoid that by using the hyperobjects. This is a hyperobject reducer from the silk library, and by protecting the result variable by a silk reducer hyperobject, you will make the result thread safe. So here with this code, by adding the silk reducer, you will have a thread-safe application here. The result is no longer being overwritten by multiple threads. This was an example for the silk keywords again. Now we have also a little case study similar to TBB, but here we have another example. Here is a matrix transpose. It's a very computive intensive application. Transpose means that the matrix is being reversed, the rows and the columns are being reversed, and the body of this application looks like this. You have a couple of for loops running from the main function, and here we start with a real serial application as a base measurement. We have here an execution time of about 5 seconds. What we do now is we replace the for loop by a silk4. It turns out, after having investigated the code, that the upper loop, the for loop, the outer loop, is data independent. That means all these subsequent calculations of the inside the for loops are not data dependent. That means it looks like, or it's guaranteed that no data race can happen. So you do not need to use a reducer hyperobject here. You can just use the silk4 and execute all what is following the silk4 statement with multiple threads. What we have here is now also a gain of almost 2, a factor 2, from 5 to 2.6 seconds. And what we did is we added the silk header and can be used with an Intel compiler only. Silk header and the silk4 replacing the standard 4. That's all what we did. We introduced one other include statement and we replaced 4 by silk4. That's all. And we got a multi-threaded application by doubling the performance of the in the execution time. The next step is we replace here a for loop with a standard square root function by extended error notation. And here is a loop running from 0 to the upper limit size represented by size. That's all what we did, replaced the for loop, and we got another advantage of performance because here the execution of the square root function can be inlined by the compiler and can be parallelized by executing or by using the best combination of SSE intrinsics, SSE functions to execute the square root function in parallel. Now we have what did we get from 2.8 to 2.0? That's very nice performance gain. And by just replacing the for loop here, by the error notation, and the next step is to replace a user function that was a library function so that we do not need to use a Dekker spec vector. We need to use that by user functions only. Here we have a user function, and we want to make also these user functions, so to say, thread safe, because it is not multi-threading, but to make it safe against data dependence when the function body is executed on SSE registers. And this is a way to go to add the Dekker spec vector, on the definition, on the declaration. I didn't copy that on the declaration part, and on the function definition part, we added here the Dekker spec vector to the subtract square root function, and we came down now to 1.2 seconds. Very nice performance gain by just defining a user function as a vector function. And as a summary, we have here a very nice result too, from a serial, starting from serial down to using a Silk 4, adding multi-threading to this application, adding data level parallelization by adding the error notation, adding elemental functions, and we end up with a performance gain of almost 4 for this application. And the effort is very, very little. I would say these are, you saw that in principle, there's only 10 source lines affected by that change, very easy to implement, and the performance gain is very impressive. Okay, Silk is a standard. There's a Silk web page you can download here, all the API, the specification, and all about Silk is available from the Silk web page. Okay, these were the multi-threaded programming models. Now I will provide a little overview about the product itself. The Parallel Studio XE is a collection of tools for designing, debugging, verification. Verification means check code against memory problems, against thread problems, and to profile the application. That means to look up if there are problems in synchronization, if there are imbalances in the code execution on multiple threads, and so on. And so this design cycle is very productive. All is available from within the same environment, from Visual Studio. All the tools include or integrate perfectly in Visual Studio. They can just be started from within the environment. And let's have a look now about the components. The first one is not really a part of Parallel Studio. It will be a part in the next Parallel Studio. It's an advisor. That means that starting from a serial application, you can annotate the code and see if there is any improvement in the performance. It's not really multi-threading the code. It's code annotation with a pseudocode, but the parallel advisor can interpret the code and can make an estimation, can make a simulation, and the result is that you can suggests a couple of methods you can use, either adding Silk statements or GBB containers, or also native threading, if it's suitable. And this is a nice tool to get started with multi-threading if you are at the very beginning, starting from a real serial application by code annotation with a pseudocode and get a simulation of the code so that you have an impression where you can start with your multi-threading programming. Now the Composer XE, Inspector XE, Vision Amplifier XE are currently the components of Parallel Studio XE. The Composer is the compiler, including the libraries, the IPP, math kernel libraries, TBB, threading building blocks, the SIG plus runtime and language extension. The Inspector is the tool to analyze your program against memory leaks, memory corruption, threading problems, synchronization problems, especially data races is the most important feature that the Inspector XE can detect. And the VTN Amplifier is the profiling tool. You can tune your application and look where your bottlenecks are. Even on serial execution, if you start with a serial program, VTN Amplifier can detect bottlenecks, can detect any kind of load imbalances, can detect any problems in the synchronization using synchronization APIs and so on. Okay, so this is the menu, how it integrates in the Visual Studio environment. I do not go into more details because we do not have time to do that. It would be very interesting, but everything you can do by your own. You can download the Parallel Advisor, install it in the Visual Studio, and run through the tutorial. It's very easy to follow. It's a very nice way to get started with parallelism. The Composer XE is nothing else than the compiler, libraries, the multi-threading methods, TBB, SILK+. I talked already about standard support. We support, of course, not all, but the most useful subset of C++ OX, now C++ 11. And the main goal of our compiler is that it is really Microsoft compatible, source and binary compatible. You can mix and match projects in your Visual Studio solution. It depends on what's more useful. Sometimes it is not useful to use the Intel compiler because you do not have any benefit on general purpose programming or application. But if it comes to multimedia applications, for example, the IPP is very useful. Or if it comes to massive data level parallelism where they have an application that has high compute, requires high compute power for mathematical applications, for example, then you have big advantage by using the Intel compiler with the multi-threading methods, SILK or TBB, OpenMP, or even native threading. Okay, the Intel compiler is not a full tool, so to say. It cannot replace the Microsoft compiler. It is an addition. The Intel compiler is just a compiler. We do not have our linker. We do not have all the standard libraries. It's not required. The Intel compiler is an addition to Visual Studio and uses the standard libraries, the linker, and so on. Of course, we have specific mathematics library, a specific C++ runtime library that replaces the standard C++ library, and a couple of other Intel-specific optimized standard libraries that can be or are being linked automatically when the project is being used built by the Intel compiler. Okay, this is, I would say we can skip that because I will do a little demoing now. The compiler fully integrates in Visual Studio. You can use it on the command line. You can integrate it in the environment. And this is the slide I mentioned where you can define which target processor shall be, or which is the targeted platform or the targeted platforms for your application. You can use a specific compiler switch, or you can use a summary or a collection of compiler switches that define your target architecture. Default is ARC SSE2. That means if you do not specify any compiler specific switch with the Intel compiler, SSE2 code is generated, but it's not limited to Intel CPU, it's general purpose SSE2 and runs on any x86 compatible architecture. These are the Intel specific switches that are running on optimizing Intel CPU only. But if you need to do both, and it's a very critical question, I'm asked this question on almost every presentation. What if I have an application that shall run on that, on that, and on this processor? The solution is to define a collection of switches or to use the auto dispatch option. That means you add an A in front of the X, Q, AX, SSE. That means that the compiler creates an Intel optimized version of the executable and a general purpose optimized version of that application. And the code runs then on the optimized, Intel optimized execution path. When an Intel CPU is existing and it runs in the general purpose execution path if no Intel CPU is on the target machine. Okay. Just a little overview. We talked about our data level person, and the technology behind that is that x86 processors, new x86 processors have so-called multimedia or SSE extensions. That means a wider range of registers. The first one was 64-bit, and now from the SSE, we had 128 bits. And now with Sandy Bridge, with the newest i7 core technology, we have 256 registers. And in the upcoming many integrated core technology, we have 512-bit wide vector registers. And you see here what the advantage is. The advantage is that code can be executed in parallel using these register extensions on the CPU. Okay, so for example, the for loop is being executed in parallel. The compiler or the runtime environment can execute data sets in parallel depending on the target machine. And here is an example where you can specify multiple processes. You can specify SSE target, then the code path using 128 SSE intrinsics is being used, or you can specify an AVX and Sandy Bridge compatible execution path. Then the same code is being executed in the AVX specific optimized code path. Everything within the same executable. You do not need to set any switches. The executable can run automatically and uses automatically the right code path when the executable is being executed on a specific target hardware. Okay, the inspector is a tool, a very easy to use tool, user environment that fully integrates into Visual Studio. I mentioned that already several times. Memory errors, threading errors can be detected with the Inspector XE. Very useful tool for multi-threaded development. And the background of that is that all our methods and all common multi-threaded methods use the so-called shared memory programming model. It's very useful because you do not have any overhead when exchanging data across the multiple threads, but the bottleneck or the downside of that is that code and data are not protected against concurrent access. So in an unprotected multi-threading application, data races can easily happen. And to avoid that or to detect data races, the Inspector XE is the perfect tool to really detect data races in the application. And the other feature is the memory checking feature of the Inspector XE. Just a little about .NET support, I said already, we do not really support managed code. We have some support in terms of detecting the kind of application. For example, if you have a mixed code, native and managed code in your project, then the inspector and also the VTune amplifier detects the kind of the code. And for the native part of the code, the features can be used, data erase detection, memory overlapping or memory leaks and so on. On the profiler, the VTune amplifier detects problems in profiling on the managed code only. It cannot investigate or cannot see what is running on the common language runtime environment, so our tools do not have access to that. But our tools at least can detect the native, the nature of the application. And in case of a mixed environment or in a mixed project solution, then the native part is being executed. So, okay, there's one other feature that's not really an inspector feature. It's a feature of the compiler combined with the inspector XE. This is a so-called static analysis. So that means that instead of running a dynamic analysis, the Parallel Studio can detect problems on the compilation stage. Here is the front end of the compiler being used to detect any kind of security problems. Memory problems can also be detected here with static analysis. It's also one nice feature with the Parallel Studio, but it requires an Intel compiler and the Inspector XE. Whereas the Inspector XE can run, of course, on any code. It doesn't, it's not required to have the code built with the Intel compiler. Inspector and VTune amplifier runs also on Microsoft code, for example, on the native Microsoft code produced by Visual Studio. Okay, last but not least, the VTune amplifier is our profiler that can detect bottlenecks in your serial application, can detect bottlenecks in multi-threaded application. That means bottlenecks in multi-threaded means that threads are imbalanced, that a few threads have a high workload, whereas other threads have a low workload, and it should be equalized across all the threads. And this is attuned to detect any kind of load imbalances, to detect any kind of synchronization problems. For example, if you use native synchronization objects, remember the example I had in the TPP, I used WinAPI, a synchronization object, a critical section, and the critical section, of course, is very easy to implement, to use, it's very simple, but from the execution time, from the locking mechanism, it's very, very expensive, and here the lock and wait feature, the lock and wait issues detection feature of VTune Amplifier is a very useful tool to detect any kind of very expensive synchronization objects. Okay, VTune Amplifier is very easy to use. There are three main features: hotspot analysis, that means hotspots in single-threaded and also in multi-threaded applications; concurrency analysis, that means that it can detect problems in load balancing in the threads; and the lock and wait investigation, that means I explained that already. It can detect any problem or issues and waste times and overhead times using synchronization objects. One other feature of the VTune amplifier is the event-based sampling, and this requires an Intel CPU. It's only available or usable on Intel CPU because it uses a performance monitoring unit, and this PMU is a section in the processor that can be read by the compiler or by VTune amplifier. Registers can be read and interpreted. That means you can detect a couple of stages of the processor, such as memory, cache misses, branch prediction misses, and so on. All these common problems, performance blockers in the application. And this can be detected by the event-based sampling method of the VTune amplifier. But as said already, available only on Intel CPU. And it is a method to further detect problems that usually cannot be detected by just a hotspot analysis or concurrency analysis or a lock and wait analysis. Sometimes you will not find the real problem that's behind your performance problems. And in this case, the event-based sampling is the method to detect these problems, to go a little bit deeper into the hardware architecture and detect common problems such as branch mispredictions or cache misses and so on. There are a couple of more events that can be investigated, but some of them are the most common ones. So that brings me to a demo. Sorry, but I do not know yet exactly know what real... okay, let's do a demo anyway. So I have here running Visual Studio. I have here Visual Studio 2010. What you see here is here the co-composer icon, an inspector icon, an amplifier XE icon. That means here I have integrated or installed my Parallel Studio here into Visual Studio 2010. And let's start a project. So our projects folder, Composer XE, for example, C++, of course. So, and let's run the solution. I have a couple of projects within the solution. Let's start with the first one, the serial execution. I have a couple of additions here in the menu. You see here VTuner Amplifier, C++ Composer, Intel Inspector XE. And here I have here the choice to switch between Intel and Microsoft compiler. It's just one switch then that converts the projects. Here I have an Intel compiler. You see that the switch reads use Visual Studio C++, and the opposite is use Intel C++ if you have a Visual Studio project. And let's have a little look on the projects. You see here a couple of additions. For example, on the C++, I have a debug properties page for only available or only usable for Intel. I have optimization properties page for Intel. This is in addition to the standard optimization of the native Visual Studio project. I have another code generation project, and here I can fine-tune and define my target processes. And let's use, for example, this switch. This is a auto dispatch switch, QAX, AVX. When using this optimization switch, that means a code is generated that runs on any SSE-compatible processor, Intel or not Intel, and is optimized for, especially for Sandy Bridge, for i7 processors using AVX intrinsics. That means two code paths are being generated in the executable, one for general-purpose SSE and one for Sandy Bridge-optimized applications. Language extension, for example, here we have the OpenMP. We have our implementations of C++ or 11 or OX. We have a couple of diagnostics here, the static analysis, where the compiler front end does an investigation of the code. And this is very effective because using the inspector instruments the code, and the execution time of an instrumented code is much higher than using the front end that can use the compiler to investigate the code and find problems in the memory footprint and find problems in any kind of any problems. They may lead to any security issues or problems when the code is being executed. Okay, for here now, as said, we do not have a linker. The linker is standard Microsoft. We do not have a linker. For our libraries, we have here we can here define our paths to the TPP implementation. Here, to use a threading building blocks library, nothing else is required than just set the switch to yes. then all the TPB environment is automatically included in Visual Studio. Same for IPP and same for MKL, the math kernel library and the Intel performance primitives. Okay, to use the, this is the compiler side, composer side, you have our Intel properties as an addition to the standard Microsoft Visual Studio properties. In the other two tools, the inspector can be executed from the menu, saying a new analysis, and then the inspector starts. I can define what I want to do, to define memory problems, to find deadlocks or data race problems. And here this difference between the three is that the deepness of the investigation. Here is the lightweight investigation, and this the middle one is usually being executed. And here is a very investigation that goes to the most possible level of investigations, but the execution time is very long. So usually the middle one are being used, and with a start you will see we will see here the results. And I do this only once because you will see that it takes some time to execute. But all in one, the inspector as well as the amplifier. The amplifier has the same environment. Everything is the same. And the it's very easy to use. Only with two or three or five mouse clicks, you can start your investigation. And you have the result then in a code investigation view, in the code locations, or you have also a timeline. Okay. You see the code that usually executes in 2 or 3 seconds will take much longer because the code is instrumented, but the purpose of the instrumentation of the code is to find problems of the code. Okay. I think I need to skip that. I can stop it at any stage of the investigation. If the inspector or the V2N amplifier detects already problems, the problems are immediately listed here. And then I can say stop and look at the problems, even if the investigation is not finished. But it's a way to see at the most important or the most occurring data races, for example. I can correct them and then the start inspector again. So the same for the V2N amplifier. I have these three main features I already explained: lock and wait analysis, concurrency analysis, hotspot analysis. And then I have a couple of features specified for specific Intel processors, for Sandy Bridge, for example. Nehalem was the predecessor of Sandy Bridge here, and the last one, Sandy Bridge. This is a collection of most common features where the V2N amplifier collects data from the PMU and gives a result about hardware issues, the cache utilization, the behavior of the branch predictions, and so on. Okay, just let's start a hotspot analysis. You see that this is the same as the inspector. Here the execution is a little bit better or faster. You start the application, which is instrumented, and then you will see the result. And you see if the code is really balanced or if you have lock and wait problems, synchronization problems. So you see it's a very easy to use tool. Download the evaluation version, integrate it, install it into Visual Studio, and try them out. Run the tutorials. Very easy to use. That's at the end of my presentation, the call to action, download PowerStudio.exe. The webpage is just www.intel.com/software/products. You see the full range of what's out on Intel software development products. And for each product, for example, the PowerStudio can download an evaluation version. Okay. Thanks for attending. Are there questions? And I said you can also ask questions afterwards or send me an email. Yes, thanks.
I was just curious about the Intel
TBB. Yeah. No, no. It's the way to go is similar. There's the idea behind that is similar. The boost threading library, that's something from the idea that is comparable to TBB, but it's not compatible. These are two very different things. But I would say both can be combined, because what on the TBB side, what you, the templates you use from the TBB do not affect the boost library and vice versa.
So as long as you keep them separate, they're not going to get in each other's
way. Yeah.
You mentioned the computational graph.
Sorry?
The flow.
The graph flow from TBB? No.
There's no GUI for that.
No. Okay. That's a good idea. Yes, I'm asked that very frequently. Do we have a GUI where you can define your nodes and your edges and the interaction and what shall happen when this happens and so on, the dependency? No. It's... just the idea, the graph, the word graph comes from the idea. You can write it down on a piece of paper, you define your nodes and so on, but you have to implement that in source code.
Would the data format be similar to Graphics?
No. No, it's a specific proprietary implementation of TBB. I guess we will have a graphic user interface, because it's very... It would be very useful to find the graph with a GUI and then let TBB execute, or the compiler execute, or create the source code out of that. But it's not out there at the moment. Okay. Then, thank you very much.